Bushisms are back. That's the tag that Slate editor Jacob Weisberg hung on the president's frequent verbal flubs. They've seemed a lot less frequent lately, but last week at the Pentagon, Mr. Bush uttered this doozy.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
We assume that is not what the president meant to say. Democrats keep hoping Mr. Bush's misstatements will hurt him politically. But will they? Here's Day to Day's Eric Weiner.
You might think all Bushisms are alike. You've heard one, you've heard them all. But that's not true. They come in many varieties. There is, for instance, the wrong word Bushism.
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
Then there are pronunciation Bushisms, like when the president urged other nations to lower terriers and barriffs, and grammatical Bushisms.
Then you wake up at the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
Often, if President Bush can't find the right word, he invents one. Embetterment, analyzation, Hispanically, and of course, misunderestimated, to name just a few. Bush speak is usually rooted in the English language, but not always. Here's what the president had to say last October.
A peace-free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
What did he say?
A peace-free and secure Iraq.
That's what I thought he said. Bushisms like that have provided ammunition for the president's political opponents, material for late-night comedians, and even inspiration for a few musicians like this band from Austin, Texas.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq.
This president is, I think, the first to admit that he is not the most articulate fella that has ever inhabited the White House.
That's Bill Salmon, author of a book about President Bush called Misunderestimated. Salmon says President Bush doesn't mind people poking fun at his mangled English.
When I interviewed him for this book, during one of my interviews with him, I said, Mr. President, I got to tell you, I'm naming this book Misunderestimated. And I wasn't sure if he'd be offended or not. And he actually chuckled and said, no, I'm glad. I said, I like that. I play up to that.
The question is, will all of these malapropisms hurt the president's chances of reelection? For the president's critics, the proliferation of Bushisms is evidence that he's not fit to hold the highest office in the land. But for the president's supporters, the Bushism is a badge of honor, evidence that he's a regular guy who trips over his words and garbles his syntax, just like the rest of us. And unlike John Kerry, who speaks with perfect syntax but has a hard time connecting with voters on an emotional level. Slate editor Jacob Weisberg has edited a compilation of Bushisms. He says the president's mangled English is not likely to play a large role in the campaign.
I'm not sure Democrats can make too much out of Bush's inability to speak. If they seem like elitists going after him because of a superficial quality that in fact probably a lot of people recognize as a genetic problem that he has no control over, it may backfire.
And as Weisberg notes, President Bush is not the first president to abuse the English language. Presidents Eisenhower, Harding, Coolidge, and of course George Herbert Walker Bush were all clumsy speakers. Harding, like Bush, was known for inventing words, words that are now a part of our lexicon. A good example, says Jeffrey Nunberg, a Stanford University linguist and author of the book Going Nuclear, is the word normalcy.
It was regarded as a malapropism, just like some of the things Bush has said, over the course of time, although some people still get shirty about the word. It's pretty much part of the standard language now. So Harding did have the last laugh in that case.
So does that mean that today's Bushisms might make their way into tomorrow's dictionaries? It's difficult to say, but linguistic evolution is a powerful force, one that is not to be misunderestimated. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner.